We gotta clear the snakes out of the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah, clear the snakes out of the cockpit, yeah.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane! Everybody strap in!
Like, you've got all these wannabe thugs that see Scarface as something to aspire to, who apparently missed the last 5 minutes of the film. Radio Drone. Welcome to another episode of Radio Drone. I am Josh Hadley, surprisingly upbeat, and I'm not sure why. Also, I'm talking like William Shatner, because Peter made me Batman last night. That's your introduction. And
what does William Shatner have to do with Batman? Are you maybe thinking Adam West?
Shut up.
Do you want to maybe re-record that?
No.
No, I think we'll leave it. We'll leave it the way it is.
And Cecil T. Robot is here as well.
Yes, I am, and I am not William Shatner or Batman.
You're Catman.
I'm Catman.
Like the Seymour Skinner Catman?
No, I'm the cat this city needs.
You sit there licking your butt and hacking up hairballs.
Yeah, that's what I normally do on a Friday night.
It's true. Yeah. You'd think with all that mad escapist money, you could hire somebody to lick your butt and hack up hairballs on you.
I'm working on it.
But if you guys want to work on something or get worked on, you go to adamandeve.com. See how smooth I am? It's just almost a weird talent. Go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code DROME and you will get 10 free gifts. You will get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free shipping to everywhere in America, so Peter, fuck off.
Will do.
Tonight we're going to talk about symbiotic, or is it parasitic, relationship between pop culture and movies. Movies sometimes affect pop culture, or in some cases culture itself, and on the other hand, culture and pop culture affect movies. If I asked you to identify one movie that you think absolutely changed the culture itself, what would your pick be?
Jaws. For so many reasons. I mean, Jaws, it kind of invented the whole fear of the ocean. I mean, there were people that were afraid to even go near the water after Jaws. It also kind of pushed that super iconic soundtrack. If you're at an aquarium and you see a shark, there's a pretty good chance somebody standing around is going to go da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, think of how much ingrained in society that is for something like that to happen. I would guarantee, like, if you were to go to an aquarium and hang out for a day and just film, you would probably have like at least 100 cases of people doing that.
That's not a bad pick, and that's actually on my list as well.
Cross between Friday the 13th and Rambo. After the whole, you know, Jason craze, you had in pop culture, you'd have anytime there'd be like a parody of a psycho killer, he'd have a hockey mask. Like, it made that into this big iconic thing. And the same would go for Rambo, because it created this whole, you know, headband wearing macho 80s dude kind of thing. Those would be definitely picks that I would see of movies that did very well, characters that were very well received, and just really got a style that became ingrained into pop culture or into culture and became like a popular culture kind of thing.
Now, Cecil, you were not wrong in picking Jaws, but I think what happened 2 years after Jaws was even bigger, and that was Star Wars. Star Wars, I think, is the first film that ever became a straight-out phenomenon. Jaws was a blockbuster. Star Wars was a phenomenon. I would have to go with Star Wars as arguably the largest film that ever affected pop culture. There are even studies done at the time, shortly after Star Wars came out. Star Wars got kids interested in space. After Star Wars, attendance at astrology lessons and planetariums and that were on the rise. Star Wars made people think space was cool again. Mm-hmm. And then that's not even bringing in all of the merchandising and all that. So I got to go with Star Wars. I guess the broader question would be, what does a movie have to do before you will say that it starts to affect pop culture? Does it just have to be really popular? Does it just have to be heavily merchandised? Or does it have to be something that changes, that affects change in pop culture itself? Like, I agree, Rambo, not necessarily Friday the 13th, fight you out a little bit on that one, but Rambo, Jaws, and Star Wars did. What does a movie have to do to cross that line?
The number of factors, like, a lot of the time it can even just be like an iconic line, just a quote that people remember, you know, like Arnold saying, "I'll be back," or an iconic character like Rambo, or a storyline, just something that really stands out, something that's very bold. And people walk out of the theater after watching it and they remember it, and you see it get, in commercials and parodied on TV and posters around everywhere, and people starting to dress like the characters. Like even a movie like Taxi Driver, with, you know, so many people remember that just for the line of, "Are you talking to me?" And that, you know, it sent it hurtling into pop culture. And it's a dark, serious movie, yet people almost like comedically remember it for that line. Like it's almost this, the thing people joke about, even though it's such a dark film, it became ingrained into pop culture just with that amazingly iconic "Are you talking to me?" line of Robert De Niro's character going crazy.
Well, it's kind of funny because there are a lot of movies that have become part of pop culture, but the movies themselves may not have even been popular. Snakes on a Plane, when that was getting ready to come out, it was huge. There were memes everywhere. And I mean, they altered the film to basically have Samuel L. Jackson curse more. It kind of became this iconic thing of, you know, "I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane." And there are a lot of people.
I'm sorry, it's a Monday through Friday plane.
No, it's. "I've had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane."
Sorry, I got the TV version wrong.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. So there are a lot of people who haven't even seen the movie, but know that line. So I think that a lot of things that factor into that, it's not just necessarily the movie itself. A lot of times just a segment of it, or maybe a scene in the movie kind of ingrains itself in pop culture. And then, whether or not the movie ends up being that popular is kind of almost secondary sometimes. I mean, we don't have very many Star Wars movie. Actually, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like, I didn't say Star Wars because I knew you were going to go with Star Wars, so I went with Jaws. But
Jaws was not a bad choice. I just think Star Wars had a bigger impact.
No, Star Wars is arguably the biggest as far as that's concerned. There are a lot of other, you know, movies, the Indiana Jones movies, 1, 2, and 3, that
Indiana Jones made fedoras and whips cool.
He certainly did. A lot of movies that have come along that have become part of pop culture, E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But more so, a lot of times, it's for various parts of those movies, as opposed to Star Wars, where Star Wars is the whole goddamn movie is part of pop culture.
Well, how far does a movie have to go into pop culture before it becomes a caricature? I'm going to talk a little bit more about this movie down the line, but such as the Dirty Harry franchise. When Ronald Reagan was running for re-election, he actually used "Make My Day" as part of his campaign. Is that something where... which that specifically would being from the fourth film, Sudden Impact, in 1983, does that make the film look bad, or the film has so ingrained itself, or in this case, really the character of Harry Callahan, the U.S. president can quote from it and everybody knows what it is? Is that when a movie has truly arrived? Like when somebody running for president would have in the late 70s, I think Jimmy Carter actually said, "May the force be with you." Is that when a movie has truly entered pop culture, when it becomes more than what it was?
I think so. I would think that would probably be the moment that would cement it. And unfortunately, the other thing, too, is it kind of can backfire Like, now all of a sudden, that thing that was cool is now uncool. It's kind of like, oh, your parents are wearing a, a Star Wars t-shirt or something. Where, like, I'm talking, like, back in the, now it's kind of a little more commonplace. But, like, back then, it would almost be seen as, like, dorky.
Well, I mean, you can't really blame the movie on that. People will see it, whether it's a, normal person with a 9-to-5 job or the president of the United States. You can't really blame the movie on who sees it. But that's definitely showing that how accessible it's become and how widely received it is, that somebody who is the president of the United States is quoting it on TV. Like, I think Reagan even quoted Rambo at some point. He was like, and just like Rambo, we're going to win this time or something.
It was from First Blood Part 2, Rambo.
Yes. So that's, I think that's a compliment to the movie. I mean, it just shows that so many people have seen it, ranging from a regular Joe Schmo to the president of the United States. It doesn't hurt the movie. It just shows how ingrained into pop culture it got. And it definitely shows that it certainly did arrive, because the hell of a lot of people have seen it.
What about when a movie is parodied or copied? And I don't mean copy in like the Italian exploitation kind of way. I mean, like, you'll see a commercial that's using the movie as part of its sales campaign or whatnot. Something like Conan, or to a different degree, something like Leatherface and whatnot. They have been used in so many other mediums that have nothing to do with the films themselves. Is that when you've really entered pop culture and the movie is changing pop culture at that point? When you've got Conan parodies, not just on Saturday Night Live, but you've got Conan parodies in your local car commercials, Richard Pryor parodying The Exorcist on the second episode of Saturday Night Live, is that when a movie has started its change of pop culture? Or is that pop culture just feeding off of the movie because it's popular? I guess my question is, does pop culture feed off the movie's popularity, or is the movie's popularity based on how pop culture is feeding on it? Does that even make sense?
It does, and it can go both ways. With what Cecil was talking about with Snakes on a Plane, that was a movie that was created. Its popularity was created through pop culture before the movie even came out. He was talking about how there were memes for the film, and it was tweaked to a way where Samuel Jackson would swear a lot more in the movie, and it was kind of catered to the people on the internet that were following its progress, and it was released that way, and it had already reached its peak of popularity in pop culture before it even came out. And then there are other cases where pop culture will feed on a movie's success, like you were talking about how things like Leatherface will get parodied by certain, like by Saturday Night Live and shows like that, or even like the National Lampoon's Christmas movie where Chevy Chase has the chainsaw and the hockey mask, like, obviously, piggybacking on slashers and Jason and the hockey mask and whatnot. So it can go both ways. When something gets super popular, then pop culture will latch on to it and kind of use its success to get some laughs, some notoriety, to get people to notice them by using this thing that's become popular amongst so many people.
Is it almost like a blood-sucking relationship when, say, after Blair Witch came out, the entirety of television and the pop culture landscape became Blair Witch parodies? Or after The Matrix, it became so run into the ground? Is that when pop culture has gone too far being a parasite on the movie? Or is that just the movie's popularity pulling pop culture into it?
Whenever there's a really popular movie, for example, this weekend, The Avengers is opening. Every reviewer is tripping over their own dick to get their review out first, regardless of the quality of it, regardless of really anything. So when something like that comes along, where a movie, Blair Witch or The Matrix, comes along, and there's so much that can be parodied, you have all kinds of late night talk shows and Saturday Night Live, and they, same thing, are tripping over their own dick to try to be the one that gets the parody out there. That is the one that everybody remembers, because it's not so much a lot of if you're the best, it's if you're the first, or at least the first that does well, you know, or well enough. So that really is when it's not the movie's fault. It's not the property's fault. It's just a downside of the popularity of it.
Is that kind of something that we have today more so than we did, say, in the 70s or even in the 80s? Today, we've got social media, and like you pointed out with Snakes on a Plane, that was made basically for the 4chan audience. At the same time, go back to 1973. Look at the Exorcist.
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is another world. The world of darkness. Nobody expected it. Nobody believed it. And nothing could stop it.
There are no experts. You probably know as much about possession as most priests. Look, your daughter doesn't say she's a demon. She says she's the devil himself.
I'm telling you that that thing upstairs isn't my daughter. Now, I want you to tell me that you know for a fact that there's nothing wrong with my daughter except in her mind. You tell me you know for a fact that an exorcism wouldn't do any good. You tell me that!
The one hope, the only hope, the Exorcist.
Do you think The Exorcist, I mean, The Exorcist got that popular, literally, lines around the block in cities across the nation with nothing but word of mouth. And I mean literal word of mouth. You didn't have Facebook or Twitter or anything. This was just people saying, this movie scared the shit out of me. Let's go see it again. Are you ever going to have something like that? To me, The Exorcist's popularity is a much more organic growth than something like The Avengers.
Well, they're different times. Back then, of course, it would be more organic. That was a time when that is how, other than, you know, radio spots and TV spots and talk shows, it would literally just be audiences going and seeing a movie, coming out of the theater, then sometimes, you know, chatting it up with strangers or calling up their friends or family to be like, I saw this great movie, it made me shit my pants, you got to go see it. And that's how it would draw its attention. I think there still were the people trying to be first in a parody or talking about a movie. Like there were shows like Arsenio Hall that were very pop culture based. Like I know I bring up Jason a lot, but that one, there was an Arsenio Hall episode where you got like Kane Hodder.
Kane Hodder was Jason on the show.
Yeah, he showed up as Jason, didn't talk, make any jokes or anything. He was in full character, in the full costume to promote the movie. So they did do stuff like that. It's just it's hard to really compare it because nowadays it's such a grandiose scale, because you've got not only word of mouth, not only talk shows, not only radio spots and movie trailers and stuff like that, but you've got the internet, which is just massive. Like people are already clinging to something before they even see it, like going crazy over seeing Ben Affleck in the Batman suit, or you know, the how
Jared
Daredevil's
Leto
costume.
As the Joker would be an example.
Yeah, people went crazy because they were like, oh, she's got the faggy tattoos and stuff, and then they're reacting before even really giving the story a chance to really end, and then you found out that was just a picture for sort of like commemorating whatever it is, how many years of the Joker. Like it wasn't even how he was going to look in the movie, but people lost their shit before anything even really happen, because all of that is now available on the internet. You get all the spoilers and the set pictures and the publicity photos that you would normally back in the day only see in like a magazine or on TV or in the newspaper. So this is accessible now to so many people on the forums and Facebook and Twitter, and they're all sharing everything. And something that it's becoming popular in pop culture before it even comes out. So it's really hard to actually compare how it was back then with something becoming popular to how it is now, because now something becomes popular like years, but like Batman versus Superman isn't coming out until next year, and it's already, you know, people are already going completely apeshit over it. Like they've already sort of ingrained it as like their favorite movie ever, just because of I admit it looks good, but the people already are going nuts just from pictures. And that just shows how much access people have to pop culture now compared to back then. Like it's insane.
We are entering a time, well, actually not, we're not entering a time. We are in a time where, like Peter said, Batman versus Superman isn't even coming out until, you know, next year, and people are losing their shit. The Suicide Squad, where they released one picture of the Joker.
They haven't even shot the movie yet.
And that's not scheduled for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And people are terrible, raped my childhood. What? I think it's just this weird like entitlement thing where if it's not the way that they have it envisioned in their mind, they somehow like automatically think it sucks. And I go back to it a lot when Batman, I mean, this is going way back when they announced that Michael Keaton was going to be Batman. Oh God, Mr. Mom's going to be Batman. And then he comes out and people loved it. And then same thing with the Heath Ledger as the Joker. Oh, the 10 things I hate about you, kid, is going to be the Joker. He'll never outdo Jack Nicholson. And then, you know, and then he ends up being a performance that's better than frickin' Nicholson. You know, people are shitting themselves over Ben Affleck as Batman. And the trailer comes out. And I think, well, actually, it's not even a trailer. It's just a teaser. It's kind of going both ways. I see a lot of people that are like, wow, now that I've seen him in the outfit and the teaser was cool, I'm actually kind of excited. And then you have other people that are like, you know, oh God, Affleck, that guy, that communist, he owned slaves. And I'm like, what are you even talking about?
If we had social media the way we do today, would, do you think The Exorcist, or even to go farther back, Planet of the Apes, would really have entered pop culture the way they did? Would it have been easier for them or more difficult if those had come out in an era where we had Facebook and Twitter?
Possibly. I mean, the movies, we've had them ingrained in our society for so long, and they're so well known that it's tough to say, you know, to think of the fact that like they wouldn't be part of pop culture. There was somebody I follow on Twitter a while ago who was, I forget where, how it started, but basically he would tweet, you know, oh, great. Everybody knows that Bruce Willis is dead. And it'd be like if Twitter existed in 1999, you know, and he was doing a bunch of those. And it was really funny because it's the truth. You'd have people that they can't wait to get on social media and bitch and complain about something and ruin it for somebody else.
Yeah.
So, and I know you're not the biggest fan of it, but I mean, The Walking Dead, it got to the point of where I basically just had to not go on Twitter or Facebook or anything until I saw that week's episode, because I knew that somebody was going to go on there and just, oh, I can't believe they killed this person, or I can't believe this happened.
To be fair, I would do that to people, but I would make shit up, because I just did that because I'm a jackass. Pick up ones that sound credible. No. And then, like, you know, say I got a screener or something just because I'm a jackass to people like Cecil. But every time, it's stuff I made up.
You know, you are an ass, so.
It's true. What about when parts of a movie enter pop culture, but people don't know the movie itself? I know people who can quote the I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore speech from Network. Mm-hmm. Will be like, Network? I've never seen a movie called Network. Open the pod bay doors, please, Hal. Can't do that, Dave. 2001? What is that? What does it say about movies where a line or a scene will enter pop culture, but pop culture itself doesn't care about the movie? Does that say that pop culture is shuffling the movie off, or populace just doesn't, like a movie like Network, I'm going to say it. Most of the audience probably didn't get Network in 1976. That movie was probably so far over the heads of the average person who was going out to just watch a movie on a Friday night that I think they didn't get it. And I know how arrogant that sounds, but am I wrong?
Not really, because there are a lot of examples of that, and I've come across a lot of people who will quote something from a movie, or you know, like a line or a scene, and I'll start talking about the movie, and they'll be like, "Oh, I haven't seen it," or it, like a lot of like people who, if you mention Dirty Harry, that you know, they'll be like, "Oh, make my day," or whatever, and then you start talking about it, and they actually haven't seen a single Dirty Harry movie. The Rambo quote, "I'm your worst nightmare." Like, there are people who think that's like Rambo's main phrase, and it was only in one movie. Like,
but also on that front, you have people that misremember quotes. Like, yeah, the fact that a lot of people think "Beam me up, Scotty" was ever said on classic Star Trek. It wasn't. That's actually from the cartoon from the 70s that I guarantee you casual people are going to go, "There was a Star Trek cartoon? Well, you're quoting from it, so yeah."
And there are people who, like, and oh God, and again, I'm bringing up Friday the 13th, but it's a good point. There are people who assume that the hockey mask was part of that series.
They also assume from the very beginning was the killer all along.
Yeah, that's what they think. Yet, even though, you know, the people that have actually seen the movies, you know, you bring up Friday the 13th and they're like, "Oh yeah, the hockey mask killer guy." They don't even know that the hockey mask didn't show up by complete happenstance in the third movie. Like, it was just a random choice. There's never anything that was planned, but everybody thinks that, "Oh yeah, Jason, hockey mask, it's been like that since the beginning. He's the killer, this big bald guy with a chainsaw and a hockey mask." Like, it's this preconceived opinion. People who seem to think they've seen a movie even though they haven't, just because, and it's, I guess that's kind of a fault in pop culture, because a line or a look of a character will become so popular, it'll be just this huge iconic thing that people that haven't even seen the movie will assume they have, because it's like, "Oh well, hey, you know, I know that Rambo said, I know that he said, 'I'm your worst nightmare,' and I know that Dirty Harry once said, 'Make my day,' so I've totally seen all of these movies." And it's like, no, you fucking haven't. Shut up.
Well, they played this off really well in Scream, which I know you're not a fan of, but I mean, that
mumble,
opening was
mumble grumble gripe.
Yes. It was, you know, funny where it was like, you know, who is the killer in Friday the 13th? And what's her, Drew Barrymore was like, you know, "Jason Voorhees. I know it's Jason." And they're like, "No, it was Pamela Voorhees." Yeah. And
he's the killer in the remake. Shut up.
Ugh.
What that remake didn't happen. That's the thing. It's like there are so certain movies, and people think that they're said a certain way. You know, going back to memes again, there's the Joker meme where it was like, do something and nobody bats an eye. And it's like, no, that's not the right quote you're using. "Elementary, my dear Watson," was never said by Sherlock Holmes. Like, that kind of stuff, you know? So it's weird how certain phrases and certain things will get into pop culture and you know, the mindset, and they're just wrong.
Well, how about when they do that, when it's a strange reference? And I don't mean strange in like the reference itself, but where it appears. When my son was little, Recess was a relatively new show on Nickelodeon, and they had a reference to Scanners. I've seen references to Videodrome on sitcoms. That, you know, I've seen references to Friday the 13th and Texas Chainsaw Massacres and that on sitcoms. A news radio had a whole episode where a character fell asleep and believed he was in Aliens. They had the red lighting and the pulse rifles and everything. What does that say when these references to relatively obscure movies show up in really high profile pop culture items where you kind of go, they're referencing Scanners on a Nickelodeon cartoon?
I think that's just the animators or the people working on it that are just sneaking stuff in there for the adults. There was, oh God, I totally am blanking. But I know there was a few instances where
It's something that got thrown in by the animators and just was completely awesome. And it's hilarious whenever something like that happens. That's great. Because then you're sitting here, oh, I'm watching this dumb show with my kids. You're like, wait a minute. You know, is it an alien reference? Is that a Scanners reference or something? I mean, that's cool as hell.
There was a Fruit Loops commercial in the mid-90s where Toucan Sam was an astronaut, landed on a planet, he ate something, and then the Fruit Loops popped out of his chest. And I went, alien in a yep. Fruit Loops commercial.
I remember Alvin and the Chipmunks doing RoboCop. Like, I was watching Alvin and the Chipmunks with my...
RoboCop was
watching,
another one
that show.
Yeah, you saw RoboCop references on kids' shows.
Yeah, I was, and I remember, and Cecil kind of brought up the whole, you know, watching a dumb show with your kid, and then you notice a reference. I kind of looked up at my dad, and he kind of, like, I mean, I had already seen RoboCop by that point. I got the reference, but I could see, like, a little, like, a glimmer in his eye. Like, it was like, oh, okay, that's, I get that reference. That's from a movie that I like.
I have seen Scarface. Tiny Toon Adventures did a parody of Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Yeah.
It's like Tiny Toons is referencing what at the time was the movie with the most f**ks ever.
There's so
many
cartoons.
And it's a movie about a crazy man trying to have sex with his own sister who's a heroin dealer.
So many cartoons have done, like, I think every cartoon in the 90s did some sort of parody of The Shining. Like, every cartoon had that Here's Johnny gag in it, like from The Simpsons to Animaniacs to pretty much everything.
How about when movies literally change pop culture itself? For instance, are you guys familiar with the term porno chic?
Not really.
No.
Porno chic was a relatively short-lived but very historically relevant time in porn. This is right after Deep Throat came out, and you had Deep Throat, Devil and Miss Jones, Behind the Green Door, and movies like that. These went mainstream. You had mainstream theaters playing these movies. Instead of going out and seeing some drama or some stupid Bob Hope comedy, people would go to the porno theater. It would make a night of going to see Deep Throat on a couple's night. You had Jack Nicholson and Sammy Davis Jr. There are photos of them outside a Hollywood theater going to see Deep Throat. This was, like I said, it only lasted about a year, but there was a time called porno chic, where hardcore porn movies were played across the country for middle-class audiences, and there was no stigma attached to it. Do you think we could ever get something like that today? Let's leave out the fact that they don't make good porns anymore like they did in the 70s and early 80s. Do you think porno chic could work in the internet era? Or does everyone just want to jack off to PornTube in the privacy of their own living room?
God, not with the overwhelming amount of just rise of puritanical people anymore. I mean, for Christ's sake, we had a scientist land a probe on a comet, and the only thing they wanted to talk about was the fact that his shirt had cartoon women on it.
His shirt was fucking awesome, by the way.
Shirt was fucking awesome.
It was. I want that. I want that shirt. Insane people attacked him for it, and this guy did an amazing thing. He landed a probe on a moving comet, and the guy just wanted to wear the goofy, girly shirt that his friend got him for a present, and people lose their shit over that. It really, it does make me question whether we could actually have another porno chic era again with that kind of crap happening.
But I mean, the fact that you guys don't even remember porno chic, yes, I'm a little older than you, but the fact that you guys don't even remember it, does that mean I'm wrong?
I don't know the term is not familiar to me, but I do know that movies like Deep Throat and Behind the Green Door and Devil and Miss Jones were very popular, and they were played in normal theaters. I do know that. And I would say that it's not necessarily something that could really happen again, at least not in terms of pornos being played in like mainstream theaters. But in terms of the porn stars, there are some that are kind of transitioning into regular acting work.
That's a whole different topic I have down the line. I'm still trying to score that Ashlyn Gear interview, but it probably won't happen. But I have talked to Ginger Lynn Allen on the phone a couple of times now, so I'm still trying to get Ginger for the show. What about when a movie comes out that is so ingrained in pop culture, it changes films itself, that it changes film itself. Something like The Matrix or The Blair Witch Project, arguably the earliest one of these, Dirty Harry in 1971. Prior to Dirty Harry, cop movies were almost like a dragnet kind of cop. The cop was always very stout, very played by the rules and whatnot. And then Dirty Harry was the first dirty, scummy, the cop is kind of a jackass kind of movie. It was like the hinge on a new door opening.
Not even just with Dirty Harry, but pretty much any time an actor will really do something different as a character or say a line a certain way or be in a certain movie. Like, yeah, Dirty Harry totally opened the door for that almost like vigilante style cop movie. Like you would have movies like Cobra coming out and Nighthawks and stuff like that. With Arnold, like Arnold was totally pioneering like the whole action hero aesthetic. Like when he came out, when Terminator, you know, hit it big, like you really saw this, you saw action heroes kind of trying to mimic that sort of thing, like dudes with sunglasses and the spiky hair and the Gold's Gym physiques. Like it absolutely does.
Did they miss the fact that he's the bad guy in that?
Yeah, I mean that's in that case it's a thing where pop culture embraces a bad guy, where it's like the bad guy is so cool that you want good guys to look like that. That really shows that something will hit the mark so perfectly that other movies just have to have it, even if they completely miss the context altogether.
Well, it wasn't so much that he was the bad guy. It was that he was a very interesting bad guy. There was just layers to it. And even though he didn't really speak too much, just his performance and being this imposing machine, it just made it like, holy crap, this is awesome. So every now and then you do get a movie that comes along where the bad guy, even though they are the bad guy, they're interesting. So, you know, your Hannibal Lecters and your Terminator and your Jason Voorhees, you kind of are rooting for both of them. You're interested in the heroes succeeding, but you're also kind of digging the villain as well.
Yeah, like, and to bring it back to Star Wars, like, I'd say that it's a fairly big fan opinion.
Darth Vader is the breakout character. That movie.
Darth Vader is easily by like massive fan opinion that Darth Vader and Boba Fett, which are both bad guys, are the coolest characters.
Except Darth Vader actually does something in the damn movies.
Yeah, that's kind of weird how Boba Fett, like, that's another real pop culture creating something so iconic. Like, you just see this cool character that says a couple of lines of dialogue and the fans just love it, even though, yeah, he only shows up in two of the movies and then just and for what, like 2 to 3 minutes at a time or something?
Unless
yeah,
you count his dumbassness as a little kid that does nothing in the prequels. But I guess the little kid does just as much as he does as an adult in the others.
Actually, arguably, probably does more.
I didn't see the kid get
killed by a blind man.
No. Well, according to Disney canon, he didn't get killed. Because there was the one book that they've now said is canon, where he went down into the stomach of the Sarlacc, and him and the other people that were down there, there's a society of people that have been living in the Sarlacc stomach waiting to be digested. And him and Dengar, who was one of the other bounty hunters, managed to dug their way out of the stomach, basically.
All right, so I'm going to shut you down right now because you're just talking If you're just going to talk like a stone Stallone, I'm not even going to put this on the air. You're just talking gobbledygook at this point.
I know, it sounds like nonsense.
But all right,
it's all a way for them to get a Boba Fett standalone movie and possibly start up a new side. No, I'm being serious.
I know you are, but shut up.
You fell into the big sandworm and dug your way out.
A film like Rocky started making imitators, not possibly in the right way, because I know that Rocky and The Godfather, they kind of played up Italian, what were already stereotypes. The Godfather is specifically blamed by the Italian Anti-Defamation League as being the largest contributor to all Italians are in the mafia stereotypes. Is that pop culture's fault, or is that the movie maker? Is that Francis Ford Coppola in this specific's fault?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the movie's fault. It's just that...
Well, every Italian in that movie is in the mafia or a victim of the mafia, so...
Right, but I mean, but that was kind of, I mean, that was the movie. I mean, it's not... It's a freaking movie. But, I mean, I had... my sister's ex-husband was Italian, like full-blooded Italian, or at least he said he was full-blooded Italian.
Was, but and, isn't anymore?
Well, he's... I don't know. He can go die in a fire. But, he, him and his whole stupid family were every bad, I want to be in the mafia stereotype. It's like the one that, like, he was like a warehouse manager and he'd be like, hey, I'll have you whacked. And I'm like, dude, no, shut up. You like, you're a freaking, you're a warehouse manager. You're not anybody important. And that always bothered me.
You
and
made him sound like he's your voice for him sounded like Stallone and Capone.
I know. Or maybe it was Stallone in Oscar. He's, hey, I'm Snaps Provolone.
Or Stallone in the totally not already made for a porn parody Fist.
But him and his whole family, like his younger brother had a license to carry, and so like at any given moment, like he'd sit down at the dinner table and take his gun out and put it on the table. It's like, oh, stop it. So I just have such a, I think that also factors into a lot of why I don't like 90% of mafia movies, because of the fact that I had to deal with idiots like this, where it's like, yeah, you're not in the mafia, you're not a made man, you're just some dumb Italian who wants to be in it, but wouldn't know what he would do if he was actually in the mafia.
I hate this whole glorification of how cool it is to be, you know, a mobster, gangster guy, made man. Shut up. Like, it's really annoying. That's why I don't like shows like Sons of Anarchy that depict bikers as these, you know, loyal, we always got your back guys. Like, fuck off. They're total scumbags.
On that same line of reasoning, then, what about when a movie enters pop culture for the wrong reason, like Scarface? Like, you've got all these wannabe thugs that see Scarface as something to aspire to, who apparently missed the last 5 minutes of the film. You guys realize that he dies alone, hated, having pushed everyone away from him. That's what you want? Did you guys turn the movie off 5 minutes before it was over?
Yeah, it's really stupid. All the rappers that are like glorifying the movie, and it's like, yeah, the world is mine, and I watch Scarface 3 times a day. Well, clearly you fucking don't, because you haven't seen the ending.
The ending is kind of the point of the movie.
Yeah, it's meant to show you that it's not glorifying that lifestyle. It's showing a guy who is clearly mentally sick, like a guy who said it earlier, but a guy that's basically coked out of his mind that wants to fuck his sister. He kills his best friend who's marrying his sister because of that jealousy, and then gets riddled with like 1,000 bullets and dies because of his own stupidity. That's what that movie is supposed to teach you. It's not supposed to make you go, yeah, man, I want that lifestyle. Well, go for it and die just the same, you fucking goon.
Yeah, same thing. Oh, he went out in a blaze of glory. No, he died like an idiot. You missed the point.
He died. You know, he died like the worst.
You know who died in a blaze of glory? Murphy. Alex Murphy died in a blaze of glory and came back as RoboCop, and he's a good guy. That's a character that you.
He died. Scarface died as more of a bitch than Boba Fett did.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Now the last thing would be cult films somehow weirdly work their way into pop culture, yet they don't. Something like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Everybody knows that image of Frankenfurter and the Sweet Transvestite song and Time Warp, but I bet if you talk to anyone under the age of 25, they're not really going to know what that's from. They know those images, but they don't know what it's from. I know there are people who've told me they've never seen Videodrome, but they've heard me talking about it so much, and then when they've watched it, they go, oh, that's the one with the vagina in the chest and the tape. They knew the references.
The gun hand.
They knew the references from the movie more than they, and yet they knew they had not seen the movie. But then you've got stuff like Rocky Horror Picture Show that everyone knows that movie, But the movie has never been anything more than a cult film. Mm-hmm. Or are we reading it wrong? Does that mean it's not a cult film at that point?
It's tough because the thing is, I think it's still a cult film, but it's just that portion of it has become more ingrained in pop culture. So, because there are a lot of...
I know people that think Tim Curry in the stockings is named Rocky Horror. Because, you know, it's the Rocky Horror Picture Show. No, that's Dr. Frankenfurter. Rocky Horror is the big gay... Never mind. Yes, it's the same thing with people that think Frankenstein is the monster. Exactly. Well, I think we can all safely say the general public are idiots when it comes to both pop culture and movies. Speaking of one of the idiots and a very proud member of those idiots, Peter, where can people find you?
You can find me being just the biggest idiot, the town drunk, especially on Twitter when I'm drunk, at Zinematica. You can find me on Facebook, The Cinemasochist, YouTube, The Cinemasochist, and on 1201beyond.com when the website is fully updated.
And Cecil, you are one of the people who make fun of these idiots. Where can people see you do that?
You can find me making fun of idiots at goodbadflix.com, geekjuicemedia.com, and over at escapistmagazine.com. Although I usually not really making fun of idiots.
No, but they make up a large part of your audience.
You're a large part of an audience.
See, it's comments like that. You can find me at 1201beyond.com. We're currently redesigning the site, so we'll have a new 1201beyond.com coming soon. But for the time being, you can go order t-shirts or click on some links, click on the Russian dating links. Or we have much more relevant links now, so you can buy posters, movie posters and stuff. And make sure if you're going to shop at Amazon, you use the Amazon links on the webpage as well. You can also contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I just want to end with, I think the movies and pop culture have a symbiotic relationship that also can sometimes turn parasitic, and you need to watch out for when that happens. Have a good night, guys.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. But it's the velvet dust. It really does feel insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's a dream. Free me so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under sedation.
Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
Well, I was walking down the street just to have a thing. When a snake of a guy gave me an evil wing. He shook on me up, he took me by surprise. He had a pickup track and a devil's eyes. He stared at me and I felt a change. Time and nothing ever would again.
out of your hip.
How do you do, I see you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Right.
Or maybe a bite.
Right.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Radiodrome is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.